You're listening to the Sabrina Philip Podcast. In today's episode, I share with you 5 ways to keep scaling your business when you have lots of clients and zero time. Keep listening.
You're listening to the Sabrina Philip Podcast. In this show, online business coach and self-made millionaire Sabrina Philip shows you how to do entrepreneurship your way. She moved to Bali with just $800 in her bank account, and 1 year later had scaled her business to 7 figures. Sabrina has been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Goalcast, and Cosmopolitan, and is a contributing writer for Entrepreneur. Using her signature intentional, manageable, profitable framework, Sabrina helps women make millions online. Currently living in Scotland with her two doodles, Bonnie and Clyde, tune in each week as she reveals the best tips, tricks, and strategies for creating the intentional life and business of your dreams. Here's your host, Sabrina Philip.
Welcome back to the podcast. In today's episode, we are talking about 5 ways to keep scaling your business when you have lots of clients and zero time. Now, this is something that I often see with clients who are coming to work with me when they're making maybe $180,000, $200,000, $250,000 a year. They are able usually to scale to the $250,000 mark pretty successfully, maybe even in 1 to 2 years, sometimes a little bit quicker actually. But there comes a point where they were able to get that far because they were taking on a lot of very high maintenance, high paying clients. So you can for sure get to 20K months with a ton of private clients or with one really, really high touch group program or mastermind. But then there comes that point where there's plenty of money, but there's no time to scale. And so then the question kind of becomes, is this all there is? You know, can I have more than this? Can I do more than this? Can I go even further? Or am I just going to be making this amount of money, but I'm busy all the time? And if I, you know, want to take a vacation, then my clients are upset with me. So that's kind of the thing that we want to go ahead and shift and ask ourselves is, how is it that I can scale when I literally do not have the time? Now, the first thing I want to go ahead and say as we move through this conversation is that there are 2 currencies that we can play with. The first one is obviously money. If you want to hire help, you can hire help. If you want to take a pay cut and take less clients, you could certainly, you know, go ahead and do that. That is your currency to use as you would like. If you do not want to have team members in your business because you think that's too expensive, that's fine. You will not be spending that money, but you're going to be spending something else, which is your time. You are going to be stepping in and sending that email, making that sales page, writing that customer service email, whatever needs to happen. So we have to decide, how is it that we're going to spend our time and our money in order to shift the business? Now, if you're at a place where you have lots of clients, but you don't have any time, there are some decisions that need to be made. So the first point that I want to give you is that you have to shift from hustler and employee to CEO. You are not here to be an employee in your business. You are the entrepreneur. You are the owner. But for so many of us, we are the owner. We are the operator. We are the talent. We are the customer service. We are the marketing team. We are the sales team. That has to shift. When you start out, you are doing absolutely everything. But at a certain level, the things that got you to 10K months or 20K months or 30K months will not get you to $800,000 or $1 million plus in your business. So as an example, for me, I do not and have never been the person in the customer service inbox. The last time I had access to my customer service inbox was 2018. And then my team literally changed the password and they're like, you need to stop going in there every day. Let us do our job. Because they are better at answering customer service emails. And I think where people will sometimes struggle with hiring is they think that they do everything better. It's like, well, I write the best marketing emails and I write the best social media posts and I'm the best person to close a client and I'm the best person to do whatever. And of course, you think you're the best at something in your business if you are the only person who has been doing it. But eventually what we want to do is we want to build a company of people who are even better at it than you are. So you have to let go of micromanaging every little thing. And so for me, what I always think about when I am bringing on team members is that where necessary, I will for sure have a standard operating procedure or a process mapped out if it absolutely needs to be followed step by step. At the same time, if my process doesn't matter, and if what actually matters is the outcome, then I am delegating the outcome. I don't care about the process. So for example, I am a Virgo rising. I'm extremely organized. And Airtable hates to see me coming. Like, I have spreadsheets for absolutely everything. I run my house like a military operation. Everything has a recurring task to it. Everyone, you know, knows when they're coming and going. Everything just flows and it makes sense. And that works for my brain. That doesn't work for someone else's brain. But also, I really don't care how someone else sets up the automation for a course delivery email as long as it gets set up. Like, perhaps there might be a specific process for here's how we name tags. But if they want to take 16 steps, where maybe I would have taken 14 steps, as long as it still makes sense and functions to the rest of the team, I don't need to be so involved with the process as long as the task gets done. And if you are so focused on micromanaging every little thing because you think you can do it better, you're not actually empowering your team or teaching them anything that's going to put them in the right position so that they can take care of things for you. So you have to shift then your focus from those $10 tasks to those $1,000 tasks. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, you can't really pay anyone $10 anymore in 2025. Let's say a $20 task. So you could be doing, for $20 an hour, I'm going to be updating my content bank. Or you could be focused on a $1,000 an hour task, which is, let me do a workshop that's going to close new clients into my business. Let me attend a coaching call with my coach where I'm going to map out a strategy that's going to add an extra $100,000 a year to my business. So you have to shift from being the person who does it all to being the person who makes the decisions. You are the owner of the business. You are not the operator of the business. And something I will often tell my clients is that simplicity scales, right? So scaling isn't about doing more. It's about doing less, but doing more of the right thing. So only putting your focus into what actually matters and is going to move the needle. And something I will also often tell my clients is that there are a lot of functions of the business. The business needs to market. The business needs to sell. The business needs to deliver. If, you know, the business gets a customer service email, that needs to be answered. So there are things that the business needs to do, but you are not the business and you do not need to be the person who is doing that. So you can still go on your vacation without feeling like, oh my gosh, but you know, who's going to do the marketing? The business needs to market, but we can create a process for how the business does that. I think that's also a really powerful internal shift because so often the reason why there's resistance to specific tasks, you know, I have some people who are like, oh my God, I hate selling. Like, selling feels so icky. Like, yes, we can work on the mindset of all of that. And also, you don't have to be the person who's doing that. Like, the business has to do that. And so that is really the first shift. If we're going to get you from, you know, lots of clients and zero time, you need to stop being the person who's in there doing every little thing. The second piece that we want to look at for scaling your business when you have lots of clients and zero time is changing your offers. So you have to build offers that scale without you. And the reason why you feel stuck is because you're maxed out on time and you literally could not take on another client. So we have to shift from those high maintenance offers to something leverageable and scalable. So if all you're doing is one-on-one clients, custom work, done for you, there are only so many hours in the day. The only way that you can really scale at that point is you can increase your rates, or you can get people underneath you that you're delegating some of those aspects. So let's say you take on, you know, a $10,000 website project, maybe you delegate the coding or whatever. But we have to go ahead and shift to something that is more infinitely scalable. And I think the reason why people struggle with this is they do not know how to build scalable offers that still get results. So for example, if you have a private client, you might know, I for sure know how to get, you know, results for this client because I'm in there every day. I'm talking to them. I can push them. I can check in on them. And I don't feel as confident doing that with a group program or a mastermind. I think that's where there's a bit of a coaching skills gap. But also I think that's where we have to reimagine what does my offer actually look like if I am not the person who is in there 24/7 holding their hand. So for example, you do not need to be the only coach in your group program. So for example, maybe I don't want to be teaching on Facebook ads all the time, but I can bring in my Facebook ads manager. You know, maybe I don't have the opportunity to review every single piece of copy, but I can bring in a copywriter who can lead copy classes and who can do feedback reviews. There are certain questions that, you know, maybe I have answered a million and one times. I can record a course module that explains all of those things so that when I do have a group coaching call or, you know, a mastermind opportunity with my clients, the time that we are using is so much more effective. Now, you can still have your very high-end, high-maintenance one-on-one offers. And what we want to go ahead and shift is that that's not the only source of income for the business. So you could still have, let's say, your $10,000 private coaching package, but you could also go ahead and have a $1,000 course, and that is infinitely scalable. You could sell that in a funnel. You could sell that via a live launch. Like, you could sell that in the DMs. There's so many ways to do that, but it is not dependent 100% on your personal time. And if your business depends 100% on your personal time, you do not have a business, you have a job. Now, something I do want to go ahead and say here that feels important is you don't have to get rid of the offers that you love. I love high touch private coaching. I love high touch masterminds. And also, those are not the only source of my income. And I think the trap so often that we feel is psychological. So if you feel psychologically like, oh my gosh, I'm only getting paid when I'm showing up, that feels sticky. But if you're choosing to show up for a mastermind or you're choosing to show up for a private coaching container, and also you have courses and group programs and retreats and digital products and whatever else that are also bringing revenue into the business, that is such a powerful mindset shift because you are choosing to show up for that high maintenance work. And I just want to say that because I feel like everyone somehow thinks that you have to get rid of those things in order to scale. And I don't think that's the case at all. I just think you need to find a way to serve more people. I have always said that scaling your business is not about finding a way to make more money. It's about finding a way to serve more people. And so for me, what I have really benefited from is understanding that serving more people means understanding that I am not necessarily the best person to teach them every single thing, but my business, my company does want to give them everything we can. So again, that's where looking at things like bringing in guest experts or making tools available. In one of my programs, we give them over 100 plus pages of swipe copy. That is a very powerful tool that helps them take action and get moving. So being creative with the way that you build your offers and setting them up in a way that they can scale without you is essential. And part of that looks at having a repeatable sales process, but also what does the actual client delivery look like? And again, going back to our first point of shifting from being that hustler, being that operator to being the CEO, it's also, you know, handing off the things that you don't need to be doing. So if I only have, let's say, you know, 30 hours a week that I want to be working in my business, I don't want to be spending 15 of them coaching my clients and 15 of them answering customer service emails. That 15 hours answering customer service emails needs to be off my plate because then I get 15 hours back. Now, what I do with that 15 hours is up to me. I could make a decision of like, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to do anything else. Or I could say, you know what? I'm going to fill that with more clients. Or I could say, you know what? I'm going to use that time to build a slow funnel so that I can sell some digital products. And that is what I want to go ahead and do because I want to have multiple revenue streams. But you have to have those different offers that are scaling without you. So if I was stuck and I had a ton of private clients or one-on-one clients and I had zero time to scale, I would put out very quickly some sort of group program or group mastermind or course. And you can go ahead and pre-sell that as well before you maybe, you know, record all of your modules, or let's say your mastermind starts in 8 weeks, you know, you don't need to add that to your calendar straight away. But when you then, let's say, have a private client falling off, I would replace that call slot with the group offer. So really starting to think about how can I build offers that don't need 100% of my one-on-one time. And that brings us to our third point of how is it that we're actually going to go ahead and scale that business? And really, I think hiring becomes so essential. So having a team around you. Now, something we talked about earlier is you have two currencies, time or money. You can do it all yourself, 100%. You can use all of your time, or you could go ahead and invest in getting the right people into the right spots. So I would be looking at things like customer service emails. That is such a simple thing, and yet it takes so much time. If someone has a question about where's the call calendar, how do I log into my course hub, I could spend 10, 15 minutes doing that, or I could use that time for myself. I could use that time answering client messages in Telegram. I could use that time selling in the DMs. Like, there's so many more valuable things I could do than answer that client support question, right? And again, there's a difference between customer service and coaching. But that customer service question does still need to get answered. It is a function of the business. The business has to provide administrative support to clients, but I do not need to be the person doing that. And again, that goes back to our first point of shifting from being the operator who does it all to being the CEO and really staying in that CEO role. So the business still has to do that, but I don't have to do that. So looking at hiring customer service people, looking at hiring content assistants, looking at hiring tech VAs, one of the places where I see people struggle with hiring is they feel like this person is not a second me. This person can't do it as well as I can do it. They're actually not supposed to. And I think that's such a powerful shift. Like if you're, let's say, the CEO of a $500,000 a year business, I don't understand why you would expect, let's say you hire a 25-year-old VA who's making $30 an hour and has never worked an online business, and you know, you hired her at that rate because she was a little bit newer and it felt within your budget, that you would expect that person to be some absolute savant genius. Now, I have a team member in my business. I think she's been with me 4 or 5 years now. She is truly exceptional. I trust her completely. She handles everything. And also, she's been in the business for 4 or 5 years, right? And she is compensated accordingly. So it takes time to train up a team member. I will sometimes have a client come to me and they're like, I have this new VA. She's not, you know, doing really well. I'm like, okay, how long has she been in the business? 6 weeks. No, like 6 months. Like it does take time to build people up. But when you really build strong relationships with your team members and you invest in them appropriately, they can actually own that role and you don't need to worry about it. But you do need to have realistic expectations and you do need to have a process for training them up. You also need to not be the mom who's peering over their shoulder, micromanaging and correcting every little thing that they do. You have to extend to people trust and authority so that they can build that confidence and own that role. Otherwise, they're going to be coming to you for every little decision and every little question because they feel like they need permission to do anything. And then you're going to have a ton of decision fatigue and you're going to be frustrated because you're like, oh my gosh, people just talk to me all day. I'm so tired. I'm so stressed. So you really have to get the right people into your team and train them up, but then also give them the authority to execute in your business. I appreciate that it is frustrating when a graphic goes out with a typo. I get that. And also, thank you so much, team member, for taking, the initiative to put out this graphic. I think it was really great. I really loved the message. I noticed that there was a typo. Don't make it into the biggest deal ever. Give them a process moving forward to avoid that. So for example, moving forward, could you please run the copy through ChatGPT or through Grammarly or through some other tool to make sure that there are no typos and everything is grammatically correct? If they have some sort of project tasks. So let's say they have an Asana task where they do the content, add that quality control check into the task. So don't make it such a big deal. If there is a problem, identify it, give them a solution to fix it moving forward. And then if it becomes an issue and they can't figure it out, then maybe they're not the right fit. But you have to actually delegate to your team and get out of the way and give them the opportunity to learn and grow, understanding that they're not going to be a second version of you. So maybe for you, writing a social media post takes 15 minutes, but maybe for them, it takes an hour and a half. Who cares? You got 15 minutes back, or even so, you got an hour and a half back. The other piece when we're talking about more creative materials like webinar slides or marketing emails or social media posts, even if they get that piece of content 80% of the way there, but you still need to tweak it a little bit, I would rather spend 5 minutes tweaking an email that needs to go out than spending an hour and a half looking at my screen, asking myself, what is it that I'm supposed to write? Having that little bit of time that you need to do to perfect your team members' work is still better than you having to do it all from scratch yourself. But you have to have that mindset of people want to help me. My team wants to support me. That mindset belief is so key. People are here to show up for me, to advocate for me, to support me and have my back. The fourth thing that you need to go ahead and do if you want to keep scaling your business when you have lots of clients and zero time is getting so freaking ruthless about where your time goes. I will always have my clients do a time audit. I'll ask them, keep track of every little thing you do for a week. And we start to kind of put that into categories and we ask ourselves, okay, what could we maybe delegate straight off the bat? What could we totally take off our list that the team just, you know, frankly does not need to do? So as an example, years ago, we used to send out emails every single week saying, here's what's happening inside of the business. And we would like manually load in all of the call times across all of the programs with all of the Zoom links. And it was really challenging back then because we didn't have a lot of tools, software tools that we have now, but it just took a ton of time. And what we found was that nobody was reading the emails. So now we use a tool called Add Event where people subscribe to the calendar once and it updates them in their Google Calendar with all of the call times. So that task isn't even delegated anymore. It's completely trashed. So doing that time audit will really help you understand where is my time going. And then from there, I like to always be very clear on what are the non-negotiables for you as a CEO that you need to be focused on every single day to move the business forward. So if we are trying to figure out how can we go ahead and scale the income when I'm so capped on time, you have only a small amount of time each day or each week that you can devote to scaling. So there has to be a very clear plan on what is it that we're executing on. So if I had a client come to me and I just actually signed a client with this exact thing. They're feeling super stuck. They're like, I don't know how to get more clients. I couldn't even take them on if I wanted to. What do I do? What we're going to do is plan out a very specific offer that she can introduce that's going to give her some cash flow. So that could be something as simple as let's go through your offers and see if we can pull together a digital product from the tools that you already have. Put that out there, get some cash flow, and then hire a VA to take some time off your plate, you know, to buy you back a little bit more time. Or we might say, okay, let's make a list of all past one-on-one clients who maybe don't want to be in a one-on-one offer right now, but they would still love some support. And let's send out a super simple email to see if they would be interested in a group program or a mastermind. So we have a very specific plan of here's exactly how we're going to scale. So when you're executing from that place, you have to be so mindful of how am I using my time. And then as you do start to get to a point where let's say a contract is finishing and a client is finishing off, you don't just immediately fill that with another one-on-one client. You take that time that you have bought back, right? Because you're buying back your time and you're going to devote that time either to yourself or to a more scalable offer, or you're going to take some of that cash flow and you're going to reinvest in team members who are going to help you. So you really have to be super mindful about how am I using my time and just trashing everything that doesn't need to be happening in the business and delegating absolutely everything that you possibly can. And then the fifth thing that I would really be looking at is using more systems and automation in the business. There is so much that happens over and over and over again that is just unnecessary. My belief around this is that any task that happens more than once can be automated. So as an example, for our contracts, we have them in DocuSign. And what we basically do is we have uploaded the template. There's a template link. When a client clicks on the link, they will insert their name, they will select their payment option, and they will sign. We are not going to create and write a brand new contract in a Google Doc every single time, because that's what it used to be. Go to Google Doc, duplicate the file, switch out the name, download the PDF, upload it to DocuSign, send it to the client. We don't do that anymore. We switched it out. So now they just click the link, they type in their name, they select their payment option, they sign, done, right? And from there, after that, we can then automate sending them, okay, here's your payment link. If their payment fails, we can send an automated email. Hey, your payment failed. Please update your credit card here. Any task that happens more than once needs to be automated in some way. There are very few, if any, tasks that I can think of in my business that happen on a recurring basis that aren't automated in some way. At the very least, they're delegated. You know, so for example, we have a content bank. There's well over 2,000 pieces of content in there. Once a week on a Friday, my team member will go ahead and update that. But even there's some element of automation in the sense that there's a recurring task that goes out every Friday reminding her to update the content bank. So you can have automations like email sequences that are nurturing and selling for you. You can have sales call booking systems or client call booking systems and onboarding processes. You want to really be thinking about where's there so much lift in my business, that there's a lot of manual labor kind of happening that doesn't need to be, and just really focus on automation. I always tell my clients to think of ChatGPT as a team member in their business. And, you know, ChatGPT can be replaced with Acuity, it can be replaced with Zapier, it can be replaced with anything else. But the idea is that there's so many software tools that can do so much work for us. So you want to be looking at automating everything, because if it's not automated, either you're doing it or a team member is doing it, and that is still time that could be better spent. And so for me, what I have found in my business is that everything just kind of functions and flows because there are systems for everything. So I am someone who does more quote unquote high maintenance offers. I love private coaching. I love masterminds. That is what I do in my business. And also, I am not, you know, sending out the call booking links or sending out the contracts or following up if a payment fails. Like, none of that crosses my plate. I'm not, you know, keeping my content bank organized. I'm not making my graphics. I'm not editing my podcast episodes. Like, I am here to be the talent and to show up and create high quality, long form content. And then someone else can go repurpose that and distribute that in a million places. And I'm here to show up and do my coaching calls and show up and do my retreats. But everything else is something for somebody else to do. The business still needs to do those things because that is a function of the business. But ultimately, I'm the CEO and I have to think about, okay, what is like the top queen bee must do task that only I can do, that when I show up and do that, my whole life gets easier. And when you shift into that place, everything else is going to get so much easier. So from a very simple kind of wind it back to one sentence, if a client came to me and they're like, I have tons of clients and no time, how do I scale? I would say, we're going to do a time audit. We're going to look at everything that you're doing. We're going to trash what you don't need to be doing. And we're going to delegate everything that we can. We're going to hire you a team member straight away because you have tons of clients. Presumably you have some cash flow, and we're going to start handing things off, and we're going to introduce some sort of scalable offer ASAP. And for any of your high ticket clients that you have, if one of them is coming, you know, to an end date and they don't want to renew, we're not going to fill that slot. So like, if you were to crunch down everything that I said, that is exactly what I would do. And this can shift so quickly, but you have to be willing to put in the work up front to build a business that runs so that your business is not running your life, right? It's the other way around. The business needs to run and function and do its thing without you, without your direct involvement. And when you have that, that is when you have true time freedom, location freedom, emotional freedom, even, I would say, in your business, because you see everything that you do as a choice, right? I choose to show up and do my big coaching programs. I choose to do, you know, lots of content and podcasts and emails. I choose to do retreats. I could for sure just do a bunch of courses and never have any sort of direct interaction with clients, but that's not what I want. That's not what lights me up. That being said, though, knowing that I do have such direct involvement with my clients, I need to have lots of support from team members where everything else is on my plate so that I can still have a multi-million dollar business and only work 15 hours a week. But the only reason why that happens is because I have those scalable offers. I very rarely take on private clients. I only have one at the moment. You know, I'll maybe take one on every 2 years or so. I primarily focus on scalable offers. In the background, I have funnels and courses and, you know, group programs running and things like that that are very scalable. And I have a ton of team and a ton of support, and they just function, right? Like, they can figure it out, and I trust them and I empower them. And I fully, deeply believe that my team wants to help me. And because of that, I think that they function at such a higher level than most of the teams that I see, you know, other people are, you know, sometimes struggling with or complaining about, where they're like, oh, you know, my VA keeps fucking this up. She doesn't know how to do that. And it's like, well, we need to train her better, and we need to trust her, and we need to empower her, and we need to get her the right support and the right systems. And that core belief at the end of the day of like, I get to have it all, but I don't have to do it all, is what will shift everything. And just trusting that people want to support you and that it gets to be easy. In A Course in Miracles, it says that a miracle is a shift in perspective. So for me, the shift in perspective is I can have it all. I don't have to do it all. People want to help me. It gets to be easy. It's all working out in my favor. And I always have a choice, right? Even if it's that choice of, what do I want to sell? How do I want to sell? What do I want my team to look like? How much do I want to be working? All of those are choices. And you have to shift into that feeling of like, this is a choice. I have unlimited freedom and I get to stay in that place. That's when everything gets so much easier. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope that this episode was helpful, and I'll see you next week.